on this. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, who needs an introduction? I will introduce my brother, Arthur, and myself. The thing about our podcasts and all the things that we do, I would say we're probably more authentic based. Right, we do things, we might not have all the tools, we might not have all the notes, but we're shooting.
If you don't have all the technology.
From the hip. All right, so today we're going to talk about, I finally got Arthur back on the podcast.
Welcome back. Took a hiatus, I was selling real estate.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about how to go from zero
to 1 million.
To $1 million, okay?
In revenue? In any business.
Net worth?
Income, gross commissions.
In the accumulative of all your businesses?
Yeah. Okay. If you have five, that's cool too.
Yeah. How do you get from $0 to $1 million? Let's just start off by saying that we immigrated to this country when we were kids, right? Our mother passed away from breast cancer when we were kids. When we lived here, we grew up on housing, right? So like government assistance. And then when we tried to go off on our own, we ended up kind of broke in a ditch. Right?
We fell off the road.
It was tough. So we've learned some things by virtue of going to seminars, studying, reading, applying ourselves, right? Reading, writing, arithmetics. And then we essentially got stuck in a place where bad relationships in all areas of our life, bad finances in all areas of our life, getting evicted out of a one-bedroom apartment. Right. And then we got to the point now where if you brought us a real estate deal, or if we needed to buy a business, or if we needed to buy new vehicles, which we both have fairly new vehicles, we're now at a point where we could do those things. So let's talk about that journey. Let's talk about what changed, what didn't change, some of the pitfalls and some of the things that we think we did. And then maybe it'll help you get on your journey.
We're on the other side of success, so if you just start and keep going, we're going to tell you how we did it.
Right, and one thing that I realized for sure is, you know, there's generational wealth and generational success, and then there's the success where you get ahead by smashing your head through every brick wall you come across, which I think is more how we do it. Or how we have done it. Now we probably are much better at that as well. But then there's, you know, for instance, my son will probably, our kids, right, will probably learn, are probably better off because they are our kids.
Significantly better off.
Because of what we're going to teach them, because of the way we're teaching them to think.
And I think now that we're a little bit older, it's not even because we're richer. It's because what we're going to help them with their mindset.
Right.
Right.
And also because we are rich.
Yeah, I mean, you got an advantage to being rich. But today, if you took everything away from us, we could easily rebuild to the level that we are at and beyond. And that's what we're going to teach you how to do.
Right. So in essence, what happens is you can, you know, I realize, hey, man, you know, I've always been looking for people to teach me stuff.
Yes.
I don't got the kind of face that everybody wants to jump up and be like, I'm going to teach you, little boy.
You got that face that's like,
I don't want to teach you shit.
Get away from me, face.
So if you have a face like nobody's teaching you nothing, Uncle Davey and Uncle Artie are going to talk to you for a few seconds. So number one is you have to. This is the first thing that comes to my mind.
Oh, you already have it? I wrote it here. I wonder if it's the same thing.
Change your circle.
Ooh, that's good. I'll make that number one.
That should be number one.
All right, it is now.
Your environment, right, matters so much. Even, you know, like, do you ever see a eagle flying with ducks?
No.
No. even if sometimes you have to be an eagle, meaning you have to go off on your own in order to come back stronger and better, well, that's what you have to do. But if you're around a bunch of ducks or a bunch of crabs or a bunch of crab apples, you're never going to get ahead easily, because not while it's not possible, every group of people, every circle of people think a certain way.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite quotes, if you know me, is birds of a feather flock together.
And Jim Brown said you're the average of the five people you hang around with most. When we grew up in housing projects, the way that people think in that environment is significantly different than when we hang around business owners that make over $1 million a year in income. The conversation is different.
The
mindset is different.
Mm-hmm.
The way you learn how you give is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the biggest lessons, like when you're in poverty and you think about yourself and everybody around them is just trying to figure out how to eat, nobody is looking to teach you or do anything. But we found that in the higher circles that we elevated ourselves to, like, people are mostly givers. And they want to, if you ask, they want to educate. They want to give back. They want to help you come up.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the lower circles, we found that mostly, and we're guilty of it too, we just keep each other down. We're crabs in the bucket.
And I also think that you have to take this seriously. You know, at the end of the day, we can talk about it, but the action is what matters, right? So you changing your environment isn't like, oh, okay, I just want to go hang around with a bunch of millionaires now. No, they're not. They're not going to want nothing to do with you because you're two different worlds apart. The way you do it is changing yourself. You have to start working harder on yourself than you do on your job, as my friend Jim Rohn likes to say, right? You have to start working on yourself. And the more you work on yourself, the more opportunities you can create in your world. But you have to start working on yourself. And that will start, you know, if you're constantly pushing forward and trying to be better, basically what's going to happen is all your old friends are going to be like, whoa, you're changing. Whoa, you're changing.
No shit.
And you're going to be like, no shit, I'm trying to change. And then that's how you're going to get into new circles, because now you're acting different. You're being different.
And I'll give you tactical advice here too, because don't just listen and do nothing. There's actual, like, we went to hundreds of seminars, read hundreds of books. There's actually things you could do, right? So one strategy is there could be 33% of your group can be at the level you're at. But hopefully they're looking to grow.
Mm-hmm.
33% can be people that you're helping out. And that may be a different ratio based on where you are in your life. Like when you're at the top, you might be mostly given. And then go seek out 33% more. This is what he's talking about specifically, of people that are where you want to go and become friends with them. So how do you do that? Join high-end fitness clubs like gyms. There's high-end hotels in Boston. Go hang around there. And even though you might not make a friend day one, but by being in that environment, you're going to start to feel better, and you're going to have people around you that you can spark up a conversation that could become a great mentor relationship.
Increase your energy. And the other way is
any other ideas?
Yeah. Go. Hey, look at this. Books. Start reading books.
You could also
start going to seminars. Start being around people who are trying to better themselves.
100%. Don't be afraid to spend money. Go and spend money for a seminar, because everybody at that seminar is growing. You know, we've seen Tony Robbins, T. Harv Eker.
Yeah.
We did real estate specific seminars.
Okay.
We've taken classes like Boulder. It's like everybody in there is learning and growing and trying to get to the next level. And some of the relationships and friendships we made, we're still friends with today.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you're just going to go down this journey and things will change for you like that. The process of everything we're talking about is literally a 30-year process, right? A 20-year process, a 15-year process. To jump levels and change classes takes time. To change your mindset and your level of being takes time. All right, so what would be next? So now, let's say you did it. You changed your circles. You're in a better environment.
All right. I got point number two. I got two.
I got two.
Oh, you got
no,
one?
No, go ahead.
All right, my turn.
Your turn.
So focus and keep a positive mindset, because now you're – You got rid of the negative friends. You got some positive friends. But now you're on the journey. You're walking down that path towards success.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens with most people when they get a little bit successful, they get distracted. And that's why I say focus. Mm-hmm. Or they get a little bit successful and it either goes to their head or people say it's going to your head. And that's why I say mindset. Like, for us, it was a 15-year journey. Like, this is year 15 from when we started.
Started in real estate, not started in personal development, right?
And we've been doing it so long. And the basics don't ever change. You have to keep learning and you have to keep growing. But there's so many distractions along the way. And that's where we see most people coming in. Like, in real estate, it's actually pretty comical because it's common. Oh, this person's going to be the next rock star, superstar realtor.
Yeah.
Woo! They start off, you know, maybe their first year, they sell.
Everybody's like, woo, you're the best.
And then all of a sudden, oh, I want to be a developer. I want to be a mortgage broker. You get all these things. And now the thing that got you there, you lost focus. So you're not where you want
to
be.
Yeah. And just to be clear, like, we grew in sales, real estate sales. Now, when we do flips or when we have investment properties, that came as a result of us doing sales. So the thing we built it in was just real estate sales. So we extremely focus on that one thing.
And today, we're still looking to grow in real estate sales. Now, we have other avenues and multiple streams of income. But this is the problem. When you're listening to Instagram and you're scrolling and you hear one of these influencers give you generic advice,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really work because no advice can apply to 360 million people. So you have to put that through a filter of your personal life, right? Like, where are you on your journey? Because for me to have multiple streams of income and have staff and have businesses and have different people doing things for me is different than maybe you starting out by yourself trying to do real estate sales, flips, developments, and have no resources and no income, no money, and no staff. Like, there's uber successful businessmen like Richard Branson that have multiple billion-dollar businesses. This is the highest example you're going to probably find, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Richard Branson is not running any of his companies.
Right.
And you think you're going to be the number one mortgage broker, number one flipper, and number one realtor? No.
By yourself all at the same time?
No.
Because in every one of those things you're trying to pursue, there's somebody that's an absolute winner in those things. And what do you think? They're just going to let you come in and be like, oh, yeah, this person knows.
Here's the thing, right? It's better to be number one in one discipline than to be like number 115 things. Like, the example I used, I heard this from a billionaire. Like, you want to teach one pony to win races before you get another one.
Right.
You don't want to be the guy who makes – what's better, right? I make $25,000 in five different businesses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what, 200 and a quarter? Or you just do one thing, which is way easier, and you make $1 million. What would you rather do?
Can I add to this?
You can.
Let's take Michael Jordan.
Oh, you're going to go there?
One of the best players, right?
Ever, possibly.
He
the GOAT of basketball.
Athletically gifted, everything.
Absolutely.
Work ethic, right? But yet, when he went to baseball, couldn't be the number one player in baseball.
Could not.
Right?
Right.
Was
and that's
great.
The greatest in the world.
But what he could do is be number one in basketball, take that money, and then go be number one in business or grow his business. But the main thing was b-ball, right? So it's like, what is going to be your main thing that's going to get you to this other level?
Yeah, and we're not saying don't diversify and don't invest. But when you take that advice generically, like David used to say this all the time, like, you know, like, if you're making a dollar, like, what do you care about saving 10 cents? Figure out how to make $100 and then figure out a plan for investing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't got money, you don't need Warren Buffett investment strategy for 15 cents.
Yeah. Which brings me to my next point. So we got number one is now you change your circle. Now you're staying focused, right?
Keeping a positive mindset.
Can I hit them with the three?
All right, I'm changing it here. I'm updating it live.
Three. Financial savings and management. Look, I know people that make zero a month that are broke. So number one is you have to figure out a way to increase your income. In the beginning, it might be your labor-intensive income, meaning you really have to work for that money, work all the time, work three jobs. Arthur worked three jobs. I had a couple jobs myself at the same time. And we basically had to do those things. But then when you make money, so in the beginning, you got to work hard. You got to work hard. You got to save. You got to work hard. You got to save. We saved a lot of our money. And as the years went on, after I became a spender, I learned strategies on how to save my money. But basically, just save.
And there's plenty of classes to learn that. T. Harv Eker teaches a bucket system. Dave Ramsey teaches a different system. And somebody told me the other day, like, you can never save enough money.
You can never save.
Because you don't know what's going to happen.
So, but here's the example. Now, let's say you make $10,000 a month, okay? You don't save $5,000 a month. You go and you spend $10,000 a month. Well, you look good, but 20 years from now, you better hope you still can make that money.
And this is what happens to athletes.
Then there's athletes, right? They make, you know, $5 million a year or whatever it is, right? $10 million a year. Then they go buy bigger houses, bigger cars, didn't save anything. This is how you want to do it. Let's say you make $1,000, $100,000 every year, $1 million, right, every year, whatever it is. You should learn to live off of 30% or maybe 50%. So meaning there's another 50. So if you made 100,000, that means you took 50,000 and you put it into this account that you don't touch. That is for safe, calculated returns like real estate or just make your money work for you. Now, at every level, you can do this. So it doesn't matter if you make 10,000, 5,000, 1,000, 100,000, 1 million, 10 million. You can, money's easy to spend. And if you don't learn to save that money, it almost doesn't matter how hard you work and how much you make, unless you go like next level. But I think for most people, look at Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp in debt.
Johnny Depp's in debt. $30 million on vino. Hey, there's always something to spend your money on, and you just have to be smart about it. So please do yourself a favor. After you change your circle, after you get focused, and then you start making money, right?
Learn financial literacy.
Yeah, or just from a simple standpoint, learn whatever you need to learn to save the money that you're making.
Now, if you don't learn to make money while you sleep, you will hustle until you die. And what we mean by that, when you make the money, when you get to that level, learn to invest and learn the vehicles of investing. Because this is what happens with athletes. They make $10 million, they spend 11. The career is over. The $10 million is not coming in, and now they're dead broke working at Wendy's. Not all of them. There's great stories of athletes like Marshawn Lynch and other ones who saved everything they've made and built empires, like Michael Jordan, we talked about earlier.
Shaq, right?
But a lot of people will spend everything they make, and then when they make more, they'll spend more. And it's like, you got nothing. But if you learn to take a portion out of that, 10%, 20%, 30%, 50%, and put it into investments, eventually those investments will make you more money than anything you could ever do.
More passive money.
And actually, we were talking about like family offices, they're called, like family offices or generational wealth offices. Like if we have, it's different strategies and different conversations if we have 100 million.
At every level, right?
Right. But to get to that level, at some point when you start making that money, you got to start saving and investing, okay?
And then the bigger you grow, the more money you make, you know, you should still take a portion of it and save it and invest it. So you can live good, but, you know, if you don't save anything and you have your best working income years and then you go and you blow all the money because you're living this great lifestyle, you're driving the nicest car on the block, and then I'm 40 years old and you're 40 years old, except we started off in the same place. But when I turned 40 and never spent my money, made more money, changed my circle of friends, increased my value, bought properties that generated more wealth, and then I can eventually get to a point where I can retire. And this 40-year-old, let's say they made the same amount of money, but just bought nicer things, nicer shoes, nicer house, nicer cars. And then they don't have anything because they didn't save anything and they didn't invest anything. And that way, if you don't have anything because you didn't save, you didn't invest, you didn't plan, Well, gonna be a sobering thing when you get to be a little bit older and you realize you didn't do the right things. So if you do these things, there's a high chance you could get ahead. Now, on a day-to-day, I will caution everybody, it seems like you're going nowhere.
Entrepreneurship is really hard for that level. Like, we just listened to some pretty high entrepreneurs at a seminar we went to. And one of the most hardest thing about entrepreneurship is it's a hard, lonely road. And oftentimes you wake up and you're like, I don't know if I'm doing this worth
Am
it.
I doing the right
Am I
thing?
a fraud? Am I real? You know, you have all these the successful people. What I learned the other day, no matter how high they climb, they still have the same beliefs as you. Like, you can hear like Jay-Z and Drake in the interviews talk about how they're like, they don't even know how they're getting it done, but they just keep going, right? You keep taking that action and you keep learning and you figure it out, as opposed to just sitting there and saying, when I know everything, I'll take the action I need to take.
All right, so what would be next?
So one of the things I see, speaking of entrepreneurship, most people is they just give up too early. They just quit.
Oh,
So
wow, don't quit.
number four is keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going. Don't quit.
I think that it's easy to quit because life is hard, relationships are hard, you know, you think you're at the top of the mountain and then you realize somebody's way further than you. You think you worked so hard and you got so far and then you realize somebody's farther than you, or like you don't have still don't have enough like of what you want and it's really slow and you're just like, I'm fucking done.
It's peaks and valleys, right? It's peaks and valleys. And you have to keep going because most people give up way too soon. If you know you're on the right track and you know what your goals are and what you're doing, you have to keep going because most people give up because they don't feel like they're there yet.
Keep going in a specific thing to make your money as well. You know, it makes me think of our story. We both had full-time jobs. Then we got into this career. First 5 years, we both had full-time jobs, right? I was cutting hair. I was being a barber. Arthur was working as a manager at a supermarket. And you know what really sucks about that is
Everything.
everything. We always wanted to quit. We always wanted to quit, we just never did. And then I had friends or people that I knew that were also in real estate, but they gave up. They stopped. They were like, this is too hard. I need money right now. And where we were not okay with, but we just kept pushing through getting evicted and not being able to pay our bills and figuring it out. We didn't like retreat. We just kept going forward. And I think if you do that, you may find yourself breaking through at some point. Now, it is hard and it is very sad. And I think I have pictures of myself crying.
I don't have pictures of myself crying, but David always says,
But
like,
Arthur always cried on my shoulder.
David always says, one of the things we had going for us is we never wanted to quit on the same day. So if you're thinking about quitting right now, let us tell you, keep going. Don't quit today, quit tomorrow. Because what happens when he would want to quit and
Yeah.
I wouldn't, I'd be like, let's just F it. Let's hold on one more day. And
Yeah.
then tomorrow he would come in and I'd be like, F it, I'm ready to quit. And he'd be like, come on, dude, let's just do it for another week longer.
Yeah, and
It,
if you have a tough day, give it a break and get back to it tomorrow, but
yeah.
get back
And
to
it,
it.
and if you need, you can give us a call, shoot us a DM, be like, please tell me not to quit today. And we'll tell you not to quit.
Yeah.
Just keep going one more
Or
day.
you can replay this. Do
Yeah.
not quit today.
Don't quit today. Today is not the, let the day you hear this podcast episode not be the day that you quit.
Not today.
Not today.
Not
Quit
today.
tomorrow.
Don't
And
quit.
that's the key, right? Like, sometimes the difference between winners or losers or successful people and unsuccessful people are the people that have just kept going a little bit longer.
A little bit long. Just keep pushing.
Your breakthrough's coming, you know?
Yeah. And at every level, you have the opportunity to quit, right? Go on your way to the next level. You could say to yourself, this is just too much.
Too much. This too much.
Just too much.
All right, you got point number five.
Point number five.
I got one I could give you.
I'll
You
let
can
you
run with it. You want to
take
run with
it.
it?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So this might be, so say like what we talked about so far, will probably get you to $500,000 in whatever you do, sales, income, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to talk about how to get from that 500 to a milli. Now, only 4% of all businesses in the United States or less make revenue over $1 million. So when you're scrolling on Instagram tonight and everybody's a millionaire on Instagram, just know that it's probably not the reality. Okay. Right. So if you get to the level of 500,000 or $1 million, then you're a rock star.
And just for reference, only 18% of individuals actually break 100,000 on their taxes.
18%.
But it looks like there's the 80% are making crazy money. So just be careful the information that you take in as reality.
Not everything on Instagram is true, but point number five to go from 500 to a milli is take risks.
Or invest and go play bigger, right?
Take calculated risks.
Your income may only take you so far, right? There's only so many hours in a day that I can work. But you know what's great is the buildings that we own now, the value real estate that we flip, the different things like that end up making, on top of us just working, which we still do, we get more money by increasing the value of the real estate, by getting cash flow. So all those things are extra that came from this one main thing that we were focused on, minus the shitty friends, and then we got better, and now it's like you're and savings, and then you get to the point where you get your money to work for you.
Yeah, and here's how it works.
That's sweet.
After like 5-6 years of real estate, I ended up buying a condo in Chelsea. We're actually going to tell you how to get into real estate right now. Ended up buying a condo in Chelsea.
Time out. So how did you get the condo? You saved money?
I saved money. I had a little bit saved, and I ended up getting a condo in Chelsea, seller financing for $187,000. Okay, that was a risk at that time. People were like, don't buy real estate, and don't buy real estate in Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Okay, David ended up buying a condo in North Andover. That was
I did the
sale by
same
owner.
Thing. I went from being broke, not being able to pay my bills, having to live in a basement, to then coming out and saving a down payment by doing what I'm telling you, just not spending my money like crazy.
And just, we don't want to get, this is a big picture, so we don't want to get too deep into the detail, but like last minute, the lender was like, hey, you got to, instead of 10%, put 20%. Mm-hmm. And because he saved, he was able to buy that condo.
Right.
So the condo I bought ended up going up like crazy in value. So they're both worth like 400, right? Mm-hmm. I ended up selling mine for 350. He ended up keeping his.
Which goes back to just be patient. Of course, I could probably live in a bigger place.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, the longer you can do the same thing without getting the rewards, the further you're going to be in the future.
And at that time, those condos felt risky. But we ended up getting equity lines or selling them and buying our first four-family, a fourplex, for $1 million. Which at that time sounded crazy.
Crazy.
And it was a big risk.
And if we
did it. And it was scary. And it has been 3 years since we owned that building.
Yep. And the first 2 years, it was an absolute loss. The second year, we tried to get it stabilized. This is the year three. Now the property's making us money. So now let's just think about this. That property now is bringing in, let's say, over $10,000 every single month. And that's just one property. If we just worked and never saved and never bought anything, you could never get to the point where you're buying properties that's going to bring you cash flow on top of us still working. Right.
So I won't get too deep because that's a different episode about like all the real estate moves that we personally made. But another example would be like hiring people. It sounds crazy to think you're going to be responsible for paying somebody 50 grand or 60 grand or 100 grand a year. That's a risk. But those risks will get you to grow to the next level. So that's point number five, is take calculated risks. Make sure you know what you're doing. But at some point, you're going to have to go out on a limb, trust in yourself, believe in yourself, and invest in yourself to go to the next level. What's point number six?